Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. So how was your weekend? What did you get into? Is your day off to a good start? Is your week off to a good start? Open phones in hour number one. And then we go back to back starting hour number two. So this is the time for you to dial 1-800-636-8686. Last week, some of you started to suggest, because you understand the way the calendar flips over, that it must be smack-off season. Maybe, maybe not. In fact, you might be able to force the issue. If all of a sudden people start calling and I'm getting golden tickets and I'm getting past winners, maybe. Maybe we'll open it up. Maybe it will be a fall campaign. I've not yet decided. You can actually have a say in this and help make this thing possible. Phone number is 1-800-636-8686. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. All right, so first hour is open phones. Coming up the top of hour number two, Alan Shipnook, a golf writer. We talk all things Masters. Also in the second hour, the new head basketball coach at Indiana, Mike Woodson. In hour number three, we have yet another NFL draft prospect. I think that I'm going to interview every guy who gets drafted. And that is Jarrett Patterson. On top of that, I've got an ATP. So hit me up with something a little bit later on. Quickly, though, dial 1-800-636-8686. We start with Hideki Matsuyama. He made history. He won the Masters yesterday, but really, he won it on Saturday. He won it on Saturday, and then he won it again on Sunday, because it was the back nine on Saturday that he played the final eight holes in six under. He went from being two shots off the lead to leading by four shots going into Sunday. That is legitimately one of the great Saturday back nines in the history of Augusta. But despite that fact, despite the fact that he had a fat lead going into Sunday, there still were doubters. There were still folks who were only too happy to take the field over Matsuyama. Even with the lead, after all, there were much bigger names in the field than the guy with the lead. Bigger names that have had experience and success. And I understand that, right? Sleeping with the lead on Saturday night is never an easy thing to do, ever. But this cat's different. If you watched him and you know anything about him, you know that this is not a guy that shows a lot of emotion. It's not a guy who actually talks very much at all. He's just doing work. This guy is just doing work. He had a plan. He worked that plan. However, according to him, his plan did not go according to plan on Saturday night, going into Sunday morning. Like I said, it is not always easy to sleep with a four-shot lead on Saturday.
My plan this morning was to wake up about 9:30, but needless to say, I arose much earlier than that and couldn't go back to sleep. So I came to the golf course early, had a really good warm-up. I felt really good going to the first tee until I stood on the first tee, and then it hit me that I'm in the last group of the Masters tournament, and I'm the leader by four strokes, and then it was really nervous.
Right, so that's Hideki's interpreter. But I could see that. And then those nerves end up showing up big, big time on that first tee. For the first time, the leader by four strokes knew that he was the leader by four strokes and played with the weight of the entire world on his back. Because we're not talking about a guy just looking to win his first major. We're talking about a guy looking to win his country's first major. And it's a weight that he really did appear to feel at the PGA Championship back in 2017 when he had that lead at the turn and then bogeyed five of his final nine holes and then finished in fifth. Now he had another look and he was nervous yet again. He went right off the first tee, had to scramble for a bogey. Meantime, up ahead, Will Zalatoris, the guy who looked like Happy Gilmore's caddy, had a couple of birdies. And then suddenly, Hideki's lead is down to just one. The guy had been on the course for less than 15 minutes and watched his lead get shredded. And you could feel what was coming next, right? It seemed like one of those Sundays at the Masters was getting to another player. Like it had gotten to so many other guys before him. Guys with bigger names than him. Guys with much better resumes than him. I mean, you can run down a list of the guys who've had leads on Sunday at Augusta only to choke them away. And yes, I know, the C word is a reason to go in golf, but I'm talking about legitimate chokes. And this is the anniversary of a bunch of the most brutal chokes. Greg Norman, 25 years ago. Rory McIlroy, a decade ago. Jordan Spieth, 5 years ago. Some of the biggest names in golf get absolutely abused on Sunday at Augusta. I mean, because the pressure there in that moment is unlike anything even those guys have ever experienced. So if you're like Hideki and you've never won a major before, it's even worse. And again, he's carrying the hopes and dreams of an entire country. So it would have been no surprise to me if that guy, or if the guy who saw his four-shot lead get cut to one after the first hole, bogeyed the second, and then shot a 79 on the day, and then finished way back in the pack. That would not have surprised me at all, because we've seen that before. And when we've seen it, it's been pretty horrible to watch. It's a train wreck, man. And remember, the trains can't stop. That, however, did not happen to Hideki. He wouldn't let it. He birdied number two, including this shot from the bunker.
Let's go out to two.
May it be the first Japanese male to win a major championship in this man. Wow. Dottie, that was pretty special.
It was. Bunker play is not normally his strength, but he is well better than average this week.
That was pretty special. That was cool. He just did his thing while everybody around him couldn't do anything at all. And before long, that four-shot lead that had been cut to one was back up to five, and then to six. Now we're just talking about a smooth, easy victory lap. You've got everybody else playing for second, and this guy's got it. At least usually that's the cliche. But in this case, that was a fact. Spieth, Rahm, Z, Rose, all hoping to finish second because there was no way they were going to run down the leader. He was just playing rock-solid golf, and they were all backing up. The pressure was getting to them, not to him. And then just when you thought that all the drama got sucked out of it completely and there was no chance of any excitement on the back nine, then we get to 15. Xander. Love Xander. Xander had birdied three straight going into 15. And then Hideki absolutely cranked a four iron.
Back at 15.
And Matsuyama getting set to play.
He stands at the top of the hill with a four iron in his hand. 219 to the front, 236 to the hole. Directly at
Uh-oh.
It.
Oh!
Softly. Softly.
Oh!
Oh, no.
Yes!
Just came out so low and took a huge bounce off that downslope, Nick.
I thought he'd go with a fade against the breeze to hold it up. Just pulls it a hair, rockets through. Can't imagine what Tokyo TV sounds like now.
So our guy caught that so flush, it went further than expected. So the leader finds himself on the 15th and then has to scramble to get up. Meanwhile, Xander is doing things like this.
Sitting beautifully. It will be speedy, but controllable. It's gotten an up and in from one bunker today, or all week, excuse me, just one.
Little grab on the second bounce, and now feeding down there perfectly. Oh! What a shot!
Two chip shots and one bunker shot. Probably a total of 2 feet from the hole.
Dude, imagine if that went in. Can you imagine the pressure and the tension and the drama going into the last three holes if that had dropped? Doesn't matter. Lead was down to two. Xander was rolling. Hideki might be rattled. But then again, you couldn't tell, right? Maybe, just maybe, the pressure was getting to him. But then Xander went to the tee on the iconic 16th. And as well as he was playing, and man, my man was rolling. Somehow, some way, he did this.
Wind is in the player's face and from the left, Vern. This is an 8-iron. Extremely high, just right at the flag. Definitely in the water.
There are the ripples.
It hit a wall of wind.
Man, just when you thought there might be some extraordinary drama, just when you thought Xander might have a chance to somehow rip the green jacket, he gets wet. And he did it in a situation where it seemed harder to find the water than to not. And that sent his third shot into the gallery. And I don't know if it was the pressure or the moment that got to Xander. I certainly would not crush him for it. If it did, that's just how brutal that pressure is. Sunday at Augusta, it makes great golfers do really weird things. And it says here, this will not be the last time that Xander is in contention on the back nine on Sunday at Augusta. I'm not worried about him. That's going to hurt. That's going to sting. That's going to stay with him, but I'm not worried about him. He will be back in a similar spot with a chance to win, and I think he will at some point. Just like I'm not going to worry about Hideki either, because that final obstacle was that tee shot on 18. He nailed it, complete with a club twirl. Thought it was badass. Nothing but respect for breaking out the twirl on the 72nd hole when you've got a lead at the Masters. And then he closed it out.
It's okay. Right down to the wire. Who predicted that by one?
Matsuyama is Japan's first Masters champion.
And there he is, your Masters champ. The pressure gets to everybody. It just did not get to him nearly as much. He treated that pressure like a privilege. He shook it off.
Man, he was something else. He played like a winner needs to play. He was like a robot.
That's the X-Man right there talking about the winner. Making winning the green jacket and making history as the first male golfer from Japan to win a major. And that will no doubt be huge there. But there is no reason why he shouldn't be huge everywhere. Don't limit it to just that. He just won the Masters. He's a hell of a player. He could be a hero in Japan and all around the world. Because that was cold as hell. That was brass as hell. That was cool as hell. Loved it. 1-800-636-8686. And I've got lots of thoughts about lots of other guys who played. Where do you come out? Let's check some of the reaction. Dear Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau is how this guy wrote that. Dear Bryson DeChambeau, tell me how my ass tastes. Yours, Augusta National. Or that fat loser, never winning a green jacket ever. Fat. Eric near the Canadian Falls. DeChambeau hater. Man, people do hate this guy. Let's just say that science did not win this weekend.
Science
did not win this weekend, and I mean either science as science or science as the guy. Bad weekend for science. It and him. Hey, Rome, I think Bryson is an amazing scientist and does incredible stuff with all of the physics that go into his game. Sincerely, the golf hacks who spend 20 minutes preparing their putt on a green only to miss it from 4 feet away for a double. Jeff, PDK, PDX. This guy writes, Rome, the 2021 Masters was filled with drama, signed the 2021 NBA season. Hey, Drew, if you hate sports so much, why do you keep participating here? Why are you a part of the JTP? Why are you sending me things all day long if you hate everything that's good in sports? Carlin Prescott, the Masters sure was exciting. Signed 52-47 NCAA tournament barn burners. Burning. Hey, trolls, I know you don't feel that way. And if you do feel that way, just find something else to do. We are here to talk sports and then go off the board once in a while. Rome, Duke of Calabasas. I was dressing for tea when I heard about Xander's meltdown on 15. I found the nearest fainting couch and watched the drama unfold. Props to Hideki for boat racing the final round. Signed Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. Thank you, Beauregard. And thank you for acknowledging my Duke status. He found the nearest fainting couch while dressing for tea. Beauregard was dressing for tea. Yo, bro, what does that involve exactly? What does one wear to tea, Beauregard? What's your normal look? And then what is your tee look? Ascot, sport coat, loafers, a monocle, top hat. And which of those little sandwiches do you enjoy the most? The egg salad sandwich? The salmon one? I'm trying to think. I've had tea, but I never dressed for tea. But I'm trying to think of the time that I spent in London. What kind of sandwiches do they have? They're actually pretty awesome. The crumpets do come. The tea is amazing. I always remember the egg salad sandwich, and I feel like salmon too. But then again, why would I have to guess Beauregard? I have you for that. Dressing for tea.
Thank you.
Dressing for tequila or dressing for tea? Hi, Jim. The Masters. Anyone can win on that goat track. Until you win playing in a wide open field with dead grass, wind, cold-ass temps, and absolutely zero color, shut the hell up. Regards, British Open purists. Look at Ashley in Nebraska, man. She is something else.
War Lady Clones.
Ashley is one of us, except better. All right, so in addition to that, I want to break down some of the guys and things that I saw that did not involve the winner at the Masters. There's a lot of that. Additionally, what do you know? The big dog is still thinking about joining the Browns, America's team. Hey, Jadavian, this might not be what you think it is. This might not be a matter of you getting around to choosing them. They may decide they don't want to choose you if you don't pick up the phone or pick up the pen and sign the line which is dotted. What are you waiting on? What do you need to know? Apparently, they're still doing this little dance, the two of them. Did you check out the association yesterday? It got filthy. Nasty day in the association. And I'll have that for you too. And an unbelievable reaction and performance by the Ginger Assassin. And I want to go back to Friday night. Padres with a no-no. So we got a lot of show for you. Really quickly, Wells is in. Quote, in regards to Xander, I haven't seen someone screw up at 16 that bad since Gavin's phone call. Pretty good, Wells. Pretty good, Wells, in the 720. I might downgrade you to Wells in the 480. That's not bad at all. All right, let's break. Have you ever seen a vehicle at a stoplight or a parking lot that just seems to stand out because it's got like this deep mirror-like paint? You're probably thinking you do not have the kind of money or time that you would need to get your car to look like that. Wrong. Think again. New 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating is a revolutionary new product which provides the same level of protection and shine that you get from a professional detail, and it can be done yourself in your own garage. All you do is spray it on, let it haze, buff off. Then you have up to a year of paint protection in addition to a jaw-dropping depth and gloss that will have others admiring your ride the next time you break it out. It also helps to repel dust, it reduces water spotting, and it keeps the car looking cleaner between washes. You can also use it on your car's glass, wheels, and trim as well. It is now available at Advance Auto Parts, plus Pep Boys locations nationwide, or you can learn more by going to 303radio.com, 303radio.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So we've already hit on the Masters, talked a lot of golf already off the top, and we'll talk some more with Alan Shipnook at 10 o'clock. Mike Woodson, new head coach at Indiana, joins me in hour number two. All right, so let's talk some baseball. You got to love it when something actually does live up to the hype because, as we know, nothing does. But the NL West, the rivalry between the Dodgers and the Padres is more than living up to that hype. Yes, it's early. No, they have not played one another yet. But through 10 games, LA and San Diego are on top of the league. Not the NL West, not the senior circuit. They're on top of the entire show right now. The Dodgers are 8-2. The Padres are 7-3. Everybody else is looking up at SoCal baseball right now. Fact. Side note, shout out to the Angels, who do not want to be forgotten about, apparently. They've got the best record in the American League. Now, if there's one team the Padres love getting over on as much as the Dodgers, then it's the Texas Rangers. Remember last year when the Rangers threw that all-time bitch fit? When Fernando Tatis hit a salami on a 3-0 pitch when the Pods were already up by 7. I mean, that's a sentence and a story that even to this very moment still baffles me. How could a major league team ever be upset at another major league hitter for swinging at a pitch thrown by a major league pitcher who's getting paid to in a major league game? How could you get that pissed? Yeah, Rome, well, since you never played the game at a high level, you just don't get it. Right. I don't get it. And I haven't gotten it. But, in fact, that's what happened. And then the Padres hit 3 more grand slams in 3 straight nights, all against the Rangers. Swept their asses, set an MLB record, and then they got glossed, the Slam Diego Padres, for their efforts. So, the two of these teams have history. And it's not good history, and I love it. Enter San Diego pitcher Joe Musgrove on the bump this past Friday night against the Rangers. If I'm talking about something that happened Friday night and it jumped the entire weekend, it must have been pretty damn good. It's either really good or really bad. So why don't we just fast forward all the way to the 27th out of that game, and then you will understand why this jumped the weekend.
Ground ball to shortstop. Kim will go to first. The San Diego Padres get their first no-hitter in the history of the franchise. And it belongs to San Diego's own Joe Musgrove.
The JoJo no-no. That's amazing, right? Their first no-hitter in the 52-year history of the Padres. And the only thing better is the fact that it came against the Rangers. And the only thing better than that is that Joe Musgrove grew up in El Cajon, is a massive Padres fan. You know, kind of like, El Cajon! Is there not cell coverage out there? So this dude just spins the first no-no in his favorite team's history against a team they now hate. How awesome is that? Not as awesome as what he said about it after the game.
I drink a lot of water. One, I think I went through 11 or 12 water bottles tonight, and I always keep them empty ones next to me so I can kind of keep track of how many I'm drinking throughout the game. And I had to piss so bad in like the fourth or fifth inning, but I couldn't. That was the one thing I didn't want to break, like the superstition of it. Didn't want me to have to go, you know, use the bathroom in the middle of the start.
All right, so baseball dudes and their superstitions. I don't come between these guys and their superstitions, right? They're some of the most superstitious people ever. And if it works for you, then why the hell not? And clearly what he had working was working. But to hear him lay that out the way he did, I'm not sure what's more impressive. Holding on to a full bladder of yiss or throwing the no-no on a full bladder of yiss or drinking a dozen bottles of water in 3 hours. It's a lot of water. I mean, I'm not sure I've knocked back 12 bottles of water in my entire life, much less during a three-hour game. Good thing my man didn't pull Mark Schlereth and throw that yiss right down his leg in the middle of a game. True story. That's pretty much how Stink got his name, Stink. Not hitting the jawn, not hitting the head in the middle of a start, isn't the only superstition that this guy has either. Check out my man's bubble gum setup.
I chew gum between innings. Something, one, just to keep getting some like moisture in my mouth, you know, and just kind of keep giving me something busy to do in between innings. But I always, before every start, I'll line up 9 pieces of bubble gum on my towel. And every half inning, I'll come in and I'll eat a piece and then I'll spit it out as I'm going out of the dugout. And I kind of like that. So I try not to look at the scoreboard as much as I can. So I kind of mark my innings by the little pile of gum that I spit out right there. And tonight's the first night that I got to chew all 9 pieces.
Wow. I mean, I understand these guys have their regimens and their routines and their process. My guy's laying out 9 pieces of gum before every game. And that's the first time he's ever gone through all 9 pieces of gum. Yo, dude, we got to know what kind of gum. What kind of gum? Are we talking Bubblicious? Are we talking Bazooka? Are we talking Double Bubble? Big League Chew? I need to know, man. Dentine? Trident? What kind of gum? And like in the age of analytics, about the only time a pitcher is going to get to the 9th piece of bubble gum is by throwing a no-no, right? There's a reason why he never had all 9 pieces. You pretty much have to throw a no-hitter to pitch a complete game, which is exactly what he did. And he lived to talk about it. Because there's something here, right? It's not just a matter of, quote, holding it in. Like, we all can hold it in. But there are certain consequences medically for holding it in too long. If I'm not mistaken, remember Fat Matt Harvey? He apparently held in the yiss for too long during a start, and it turned into a blood clot. And I'm not sure my man's ever been the same. Regardless, huge congrats to the hometown kid. Look at this guy's line. 12 bottles of water, 9 pieces of gum, 27 outs, no hits allowed, and San Diego Padre history. Not bad for a Friday night. That can't be your proverbial Friday night news dump. You knew that was going to jump the weekend. Good on you, dude. Especially since you had to hold it in all game long. And you got to all 9 of your pieces of gum. I'm telling you, man. They're going to have a real look. The Padres are going to have a real look. They're not hot. They're good. They're really good. Nice depth in the rotation. Bullpen's got some action. They've got bats. They've got a chip on their shoulder. I like it. I like it. And as far as Matt Harvey, quote, this goes back to Matt Harvey in 2016. Quote, I guess the main issue is I hold my urine in for too long instead of peeing regularly. I guess I have to retrain my bladder to use the restroom a little bit more instead of holding it in. Yeah, I don't know, bro. Maybe you retrain your brain. Or maybe you don't have to retrain or rewire anything. Maybe you just tell yourself when it's time to go, you go. You know, it's not like you're 3 and need to be led to the bathroom. If doing so is giving you blood clots, maybe you stop doing so. Quote, I guess it started with a bladder infection that created a blood clot in the bladder. Passed it yesterday. It wasn't a great first day of my 27th birthday, but cleared that. We had a little procedure done this morning just to go in and check the bladder, and everything was clear. Hey, listen, usually by the age of 27, you figured out when and how to go to the bathroom. And there are certain things that are not preventable, certain things that just happen physically. Dude, that seems to me to be pretty preventable. The way you laid that out, and I know that was back in 2016, I'm just saying as a cautionary tale, here's a matter of policy. If you need to go, go. Otherwise, you could end up like that. Like Fat Matt with a fat clot. Fat. Dude, I don't know, man. I'm not a doctor. And I don't even try to play one here on radio or TV. But it seems to me blood clots are not something you'd hope for. That's not a positive development. You do not want a blood clot. I think I'm looking at these numbers. I think if I recall correctly, he went into that season with an ERA of 2.71. But since giving himself the blood clot, allegedly, he has not dropped below 4. Padres are nice, man. Padres are nice. The Dodgers are still the team to beat, but the Dodgers or the Padres are nice. And they've got a member of their bullpen that James Kelly used to coach. True story. The only thing more bizarre than James Kelly appearing on Entertainment Tonight last week was James Kelly coaching up a future major leaguer. Weird stuff. And then finally this as I go to break. You know, it must be in a way Smackoff season because this guy's showing up more and more and more. Vic and NoCal, speaking of no-nos, did you hear about that softball pitcher who just threw a perfect game by striking out every single batter? Would have never happened to my team. Signed softball guy with a $550 bat and a number 69 jersey that says The Hammer. Yeah, I know, Vic. I did that take like 20 years ago. And it's all true. It's all true. Every team's got one. And it is timeless. It's true. Not only does every team have that guy, the guy with the $550 bat, the jersey number 69, and the name on the back, which reads The Hammer. Not only does every team have that guy, every team always will have that guy. Softball guy will not die. Ever. There will always be a dude with an expensive bat and the gloss, the hammer on his back with the number 69. Playing in multiple leagues and treating every game like Game 7 of the World Series. The Hammer's the dude who runs the catcher into the dugout the way Pete Rose did Ray Fosse. And then that catcher's career is never the same ever again in softball. And my man jumps up and he's just chest busting, bumping everybody. Because to him, softball guy, his life did not work out the way he thought it would. That is Game 7 of the World Series. And if you're not going to treat it like that, man, you should not be between the lines. Ask him. The Hammer. The guy who's got 69 on his back. That guy. My man ain't going half speed. Come on, man. He's running everything out. And if you're not willing to do the same, he's going to kick your ass. When we return, you should really get up in here. Because then we go back to back with the interviews. And although the interviews are going to be really good, you might not want to wait. Call now, 1-800-636-8686. Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you know me, and you know this show, and you know Monday's an ATP day. So what you want to do, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, you want to ask me a question, ATP, ask the pros, ask me a question about anything you want. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit your question. Listen later on, I am going to answer one or more of yours. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do that, 1-800-636-8686. I've got Alan Shipnook coming up at the top of the hour, so a couple of quick thoughts about the Masters before I do that. Man, tough weekend. Tough weekend for some really big names. Jason Day, Patrick Cantlay, Zach Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Lee Westwood, Max Homa, Matt Kuchar, Matt Wolf, Daniel Berger, Sergio Garcia. They all missed the cut. I'd throw Brooks Koepka in there as well, but that's not really fair to him. I mean, he was out there doing everything he could on one leg. We could talk about whether or not that was a good idea or a bad idea, but I give the guy credit for trying to grind it out. But there were some big names putting up big numbers. Adam Scott finished 11 over. Gary Woodland, plus 5. Tommy Fleetwood, plus 5. The list goes on and on and on. But I know you clones, and you're not really interested in any of them. All you care about is science. Bryson DeChambeau, a.k.a. Science Guy, a.k.a. Just Science.
Science Guy, science, 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 science.
That was Elk. Elk with one of his great performances ever on the Jim Rome podcast prior to the start of the tourney. He was going in. He was going off. He just was being real. He was being Elk talking about Science Guy that he quickly downgraded to just Science.
Science Guy. Science, 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 science.
Science, 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 science. Let me tell you about science, science. First round, 76. Then it looked like he might have made his adjustments, got right, chased out with a 67, but then he went 75-75, 5 over par, T46. Science, science, science,
science, science, science, science.
You know what T46 means? That means he was 25 spots below 50-year-old Hefty Mickelson and a cool 15 shots off the lead. Never forget, science was the guy who called Augusta a par 68 for him. Remember? All right, then. If that's the case, science, then you're 21 over if we're using your math, science.
Science.
Hey, science, check this. Listen up. Augusta National is straight up ragdolling you. And there are a lot of people who are very happy to see it, considering how you've rolled into this event the last couple of years, bumping your gums and flexing your science. Now, I know it's going to be really hard, but next April, man, I would stay down. I would try to be as humble and as quiet as possible, because here is the reality. The reality is your best finish ever at the Masters came when you were an amateur. So what you probably want to do is get back in the lab and do something. Figure something out, because right now your math and your science are both all jacked up. Amateur science is better at the Masters than professional science. Amateur science actually got you a T21 back in 2016. Professional science has never added up to anything better than 29th. And if you play some of the post-round sound from science, and one thing I want to digress for or backtrack for 1 second. Notice I was the guy hyping science, and I'm not coming back bitterly or clapping back because he made me look bad. I'm just here to say I'm not here to hate. I was one of the guys fascinated by science, and on some level I still am. But you take the good with the bad. And when you were flexing that science and you were killing it, science, I was the first one to pat you on the back. But science ain't working for you. Not there, it's not. And then what do you know? He declined to meet with the media yesterday. So considering last year he blamed dizziness for playing like ass. I don't know. Normally I think it's kind of a gutless thing to do to avoid the media when things go badly. That might have actually been a pretty good play at this point, given how badly it went for him. I mean, what else can this guy say at this point other than Augusta is fully in ownership of you, science. And it's had a hell of a good time proving that ownership once again. In other words, my man, play golf. Play golf. This is not one of those late night, long drive competitions on ESPN where dudes are rocking their medium shirts and their orange tinted hunting glasses and they're looking to swing out their asses and their hats keep coming off. You know why you're their hero, science? You know why? Because right now you're one of them.
Science guy.
You
science,
are them.
Science, science, science.
You are the manager. You are the manager.
There's no manager there.
She are the manager.
The science is the manager. All right, let's go to the phones quickly.
Science.
Alan Shipnook coming up in 10 minutes from right now. We go to El Cajon. Matt in El Cajon. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Oh, what's up, Jim? Just so pumped for Joe Musgrove. You know, I went to the same high school as he did. The next day, guys are out at the high school painting a mural of them on the wall. Their mom and dad, they have a coffee shop out there in Alpine. I'm sure the line was all the way out to Hollywood. It's just been epic. The guy's never going to have to buy a drink again in this town. He's a legend.
He is a legend. You know what's great about that, Matt? Thanks so much. I love when you can identify with an athlete and an amazing accomplishment, and that he comes from a town where he was visible and the family's visible and they've got this coffee shop and the guy stayed home and did good. It's such a good story. You know how cool that'd be if you went to high school with a kid who made it? Like take all my classmates at Calabasas. How thrilled must they be for me? Just kidding. No, I mean, if you had a star athlete. Have you ever gone to high school with a star athlete who went out and made it to the NFL or made it to Major League Baseball or made it to the association? It's awesome. It's awesome, and especially if they come back home and, you know, obviously they're going to change and there's some evolution, but if at their core they're that guy, you know, same heart, same whole, same soul, you see the parents, you see the family, and you see something like that, man, that's bitching. That is really, really cool. And you know what else is really cool right now? Padres. The freaking Padres are unbelievable. Let's go to Los Angeles. This guy probably doesn't think so. Matt in L.A. What's up, Matt?
You know that, Tense, Mac. Hey, thanks for the vine. Is it me or does fleeting CJ in the large body of water next to a fecally infested city seem to need some JC in his life? Hey, yo, BJ, keep my name out your mouth. Congrats on your watch list. However, watch as I bitch smack you like the no-cow never will be you are, you Frisco fickle bag area basket case. L.A.'s taking care of business, and so is your boy Matt in L.A. Holler. War, Bill Ryder's bum of the week, irate Craig using discarded milk crates as cabinetry. War, Drizzle using corn cobs as microphones at his soup kitchen rap concerts. Outro!
My man. I love Matt starting a call off by suggesting that somebody needs JC in their life. And then he makes that call. And it's just lighting dudes up.
Jesus Christ.
Did I hear that correctly? Did he re-gloss CJ to BJ? After invoking JC, he went from JC to CJ to BJ. That's counterintuitive. That's CI. Wow, bro. When we come back, golf writer Alan Shipnook joins us. He's really strong. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.